We have got to know Mark Levine quite well over the last year or so. As a regular here on the 891 Breakfast Program, he's a constitutional attorney who formerly worked for the US Congress, currently a nationally syndicated American radio and television talk show host. We know that in the past, political aspirations have been there. He's on the cusp of that because he's been elected the Democrat candidate for the 45th district seat in the House of Delegates in Virginia. And I think it's fair to say for many who choose to enter politics, that decision is based on personal pain or injustice and the prospect of being in a position to make change to ensure that no one else is in a similar situation can be a pretty powerful motivator. And Mark Levine, I think that probably rings true for you. Good morning and welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning, Spence. Thanks for having me again.
And congratulations on the nomination. Just before we talk about the circumstances that led to your entry into politics, just clear this up for me if you can. So you've been elected as the Democrat candidate for this seat, and there was, I think you were up against four competitors, and you were probably one of the back markers as far as the possibility of getting the nod was concerned. But you got up, which is a good thing from your perspective, obviously. But what does that mean for your chances? I mean, is it a strong Democrat seat that you've been nominated for?
Well, I would say my chances are at least 99.9999% because no one's running against me. So it's pretty hard to lose an election when you're the only person on the ballot. It was a very race, an intra-democratic race with my fellow Democrats. That was a tough race. I live in an area that's extremely democratic, extremely liberal. We probably vote for Democrats 70-75% of the time. So the Republicans decided they weren't going to waste their money to even put some poor guy up against us in this area. They knew that that Republican would have no chance. So winning the nomination a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was tantamount to winning the election.
So we can congratulate you. I think it's a fair thing to do. As a matter of interest, are there many swinging voters in the U.S., or are you pretty well rock solid if you've made a decision about your political persuasion?
Well, I would say that there's maybe 40% of people in America who pretty much always vote for the Democratic Party, and 40% of people in America who pretty much always vote for the Republican Party, and then there's about 20% that decide all our elections, and I belong in the solid 40% Democrats. The irony is that the people who care the least tend to be the ones who determine who wins.
Well, that's a good point. So realistically, if there was compulsory voting or even a greater turnout at election, I'm not sure what that would mean, because I mean, if it's split anyway, so it's really that minority who could go either way that are going to make a decision about who's going to be in government.
Yeah, it's 1 in 5. I mean, it's not a small minority. It's probably 20% that could vote for either party, but it is definitely, 20%. If elections were compulsory, I think we Democrats would do better, because I think the people who are most marginalized in our society, the people from lower income classes or students that don't have their voting registration squared away, or those people are more likely to vote for the Democratic Party. So I actually think we would win 2 or 3 or 4 points if that were to happen. Yeah. But I don't expect it to happen anytime soon.
No. Two words, if I can, please, Mark, and nothing defamatory, please. Donald Trump.
Wait, I'm not allowed to say anything defamatory. Took away my whole vocabulary. Let's just say a joke. Oh, is that defamatory? I can mean it in a positive way. He makes us laugh. All right, we'll just say it that way.
He's not likely to get that much Hispanic vote, is he?
He's not likely to get any vote. But as a Democrat, I can say there's no Republican nominee I'd rather see. For president. we could win 50 states running against Donald Trump. No, he has no chance, but he will provide a good laugh to all of us now and then. And, in the long campaign, we need that comedic outlet.
Let's talk about you, Mark, because, as I say, we've got to know you very well over the last 12 months or so. Your fantastic conversations you had with Matthew and Dave, and when I get a chance to talk to you as well, I always enjoy it. But as I said, the decision to enter politics can be based on personal pain or injustice, and you have experienced this because you spent a significant percentage of your life trying to get some justice for the killer of your sister.
I did. It's interesting. I haven't actually talked about this with Matt and Dave, I don't think, before. It doesn't often come up, but as you know, Spence, but your listeners might not, the Washington Post which is a very strong American newspaper, one of the most important in the nation, did a piece on me that if anyone wants to read, they can just go Google Washington Post and Mark Levine, M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E, and they can read the whole story. But basically, yes, my sister was murdered in 1996. She was killed by her husband. And after killing her, he took my niece and nephew and fled to Mexico, which is a lot more of a lawless place. And it took us 10 years to get justice, 10 years of very hard work, both through the legal system, the criminal justice system, working across international boundaries. I had to write several laws for my home state of Tennessee at the time to change the law so that we could see the children again. And it was a very, very painful time, but it taught me that if you're persistent and you're on the right side of the issue, you can win even impossible battles. And I was told by a lot of people that it was impossible, that I should just give up, that I should just move on with my life. And I told all these well-meaning people that I couldn't sleep if I ever were to stop fighting. And I think that determination is something that I've brought with me to this day.
Mm. So you've spent the best part of a decade basically working on domestic abuse and custody laws, haven't you?
Yeah, I did, and I had to learn the laws. And, you know, each state in the United States has different laws, so I had to learn the laws of Tennessee and Illinois. I had to learn the laws of Mexico, and I don't speak Spanish, and the Mexican legal system is extremely different from the American legal system. And I had to help the police with their case, and we went down to Mexico and spied on him, which was dangerous. We had a guy chase us with guns. And one day, I always thought there'd be a movie about this. There are 3 books written about it. But they don't even know all the facts. So it was definitely a decade of my life. And it was one that I didn't used to talk about very often as I entered politics. And then I came to the realization with some help from some good friends that not talking about it is the wrong decision, that particularly when it comes to issues of domestic violence and sexual violence, that we need to talk about these things a lot, because hiding them makes people think these things aren't that common. And they're far more common than we'd like to admit.
Mm. And it was basically the insistence of your mum, wasn't it, to actually make the circumstances more public?
Yeah, it wasn't so much that she wanted it public before I ran for office. But when I did run for office, she felt like that this was part of who I was. This is part of my character. This is part of what formed who I am. And it was 10 years of my life. And she felt that the public ought to know me and not just know, you know, what I could do for Northern Virginia and what I could do, but actually sort of who I am and how hard I fight when I have a powerful goal. So, it's kind of a sad topic. I know usually with Matt and David, I'm making jokes all the time. So sorry that it's not a comedy thing, but it is very much who I am and where I come from.
Well, look, Anna, you're never going to get over the pain of losing your sister, but in some ways, winning the political fights that you've fought and legal battles you've been through has to have had some sort of cathartic effect.
It does. You know, just seeing him put away in prison, and he's the killer is now serving a 56-year sentence. He won't see daylight anytime soon. Is good, and even better, frankly, was getting my niece and nephew back. Mm. I promised my sister that I would take care of them if anything happened to her, never dreaming that was a promise I would have to keep. And when they were held away from us in Mexico year after year after year without us being able to communicate with them, and we knew they were in a dangerous spot, after all, they were with a murderer, their father, every day I'd wake up thinking, how am I going to get those kids home? And that, I feel sometimes like we lost 3 lives but gained back 2, and I'll never see my sister again. But having my wonderful nephew and niece, who are great kids and doing very well now, has been wonderful. And my parents raised them, and they're doing terrific now. And so, yes, just be a lesson for anyone listening, an inspirational thing, that you can achieve justice. You just got to keep working at it. In a democracy, you keep working at it, and it can be there. Just, I like to tell people, never quit. The only sure way to failure is to quit. And if you believe in something strongly in your heart, you just keep going after it, and one day you can succeed. It took us 10 years, but we did succeed.
Well spoken, Mark. Very positive note to finish on. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Spence. Thanks for having me on.
Mark Levine, who regularly joins Matthew and David here on 891 ABC Adelaide.